Insights on the Middle East with author and academic Avi Yorish.
Avi Yorish, we have missed you.
Hello, hello. It's so nice to hear your voice. It's lovely. We've got to cut that fire on. Come on.
How are you? You good?
I'm great. How are you both doing?
Yeah.
Exceptional. 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 Although I have to admit that I had to resort to Google to find out about Moore's law and acceleration. And you are going to explain to us, Avi, how this impacts global society and us individually.
That's right. So let's talk about a man that I suspect most listeners have never heard of, is a man by the name of Gordon Moore, who's actually a prophet in our time, believe it or not. He basically predicted the home computer, cell phones, self-driving cars, and smartwatches, just to name a few devices. So 1965, Gordon Moore wrote an article for Electronics Magazine, and he basically said as follows. He said at the time that semiconductors and small microchips are going to become either twice as powerful or half the price he slightly changed it, but eventually every 2 years. And people looked at him like he was really on planet Mars. But as it turns out, every year since 1965, our microchips have basically accelerated at a very, very rapid pace, not linearly, but exponentially. And that has had a significant impact on the way we all live our lives. In 1965, there were 64 transistors on every one of these little microchips. Today we're talking about billions, I shouldn't say billions, but millions of these little transistors on every microchip. And that has basically revolutionized our lives to the point that today we have GPS devices, we have smartphones, we have computers in the palm of our hands in the form of a smartphone. In terms of these smartphones, I will say this. All of us can barely remember life before the smartphone. And in our hand, we have in these smartphones more computing power than we had to send a man to the moon in 1969.
But so we also remember had
when
more
that,
time.
When did the first smartphone come out? Do you remember?
It must have been 1994.
That's a good guess, Simon.
Oh, I was around about there. Let's say a little earlier.
A little earlier. What if I told you it was 2007? Oh, December no. 2007 to be exact.
No.
And that, yeah, yeah. 12 years ago, can you imagine what life will be like in 12 years when it comes to these global challenges that we've discussed in the show before? Okay. Artificial intelligence, space, water, agriculture, science, poverty, education. And it's all based on this idea of Moore's law that we are accelerating at a exponential rate. We are now officially in the age of acceleration. We've arrived at a place where life is changing so rapidly that we as human beings have a very hard time making sense of all the changes that are around us because they are happening at such a rapid, rapid pace. And Gordon Moore was the one who predicted it in 1965. And you really can take this to many, many fields and say, where are we going to be in 12 years, 15 years? Look, if you look at the first chip comparison to where we are today, today it's 90,000 times more energy efficient and 60,000 microprocessor. If you looked at cars, assuming the same line, they would go 300,000 miles an hour and get 2 million miles per gallon of gas and only cost 4 cents. That just puts in perspective of how much faster, cheaper, and more powerful our microchips have become in the last 55 years.
It's absolutely fascinating, Avi. What really interests me about this subject, and I haven't really thought about this very much, but it's kind of the law of unintended consequences. And you talk about this exponential development. And I look, for example, as what it's like to be a Jew in 2019. And the fact that the internet has almost become the safe space for haters. And whoever would have foreseen that? Whoever would have seen that from this incredible, powerful tool that could make such incredible difference come so much hate? And I'm just trying to think ahead into the world that you're describing 12 years time when I can't even imagine what those technologies are going to be or how the world is going to have changed. And not necessarily for the better. What's your take on that?
I mean, look, every piece of technology, I should say every piece, but most pieces of technology are value neutral. they can be used for good and they can be used for evil. And then there are certain technologies that are just good. Drip irrigation, for example.
Sure.
Just good.
Yep.
Desalination. Just good.
Yes.
It's true. The internet really is value neutral, and it has haters and it has those that are really promoting good on it. The world that our children are going to inherit is going to fundamentally look different than the one we inherited. And that gives us a certain set of privileges and frankly, responsibilities that we really, I would say, as the Jewish people and frankly, humanity, have this amazing power. We're either driving towards a place where we are going to impose self-extinction, and or we're also driving at the same time to a point where we have the power to make the world a better place. And the decision that each and every one of us has to make is, which side of the coin are we going to work towards? Are we going to stand up and say, yes, we can make the world a better place. Yes, I will stand up and ensure that we are going to eradicate poverty, that we are going to promote education, that we're going to promote food security. And that is the question that I am interested in. How do we essentially leverage this technology in a value positive manner for the benefit of humanity? And how do we essentially ensure that the world that our children, our grandchildren, and our great grandchildren is better than the one we have today? And when you look at Moore's law, that we are in the age of acceleration, we have that power in our hands.
That's so interesting. Do you follow Sacha Baron Cohen on Twitter?
I don't follow him on Twitter, but obviously he's been talking about this whole issue with Facebook in the last couple of weeks.
Well, it's that. And also, he actually quoted somebody who writes for, I think it's the New Yorker or the New York Times. And the quote is about technology and says, while we were watching technology, you know, create our dreams and our strengths, we weren't watching what it was doing to our, the guy's name's Tristan Harris. I've got to actually get the quote. We were all watching for when AI would exceed human, it's going too fast, sorry. but basically we weren't paying attention and we weren't looking at how AI and how technology was, what it is doing to our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And that is devastating.
Scientists are predicting, speaking of AI and how it affects us as humans, they are predicting in the next 15 years we're going to reach what we call singularity, where essentially we are going to meld with modern technology and we're going to create, in many ways, a new type of human because we're going to have the technology implanted into our bodies. And that is a time that is potentially coming and that is both extraordinarily powerful and turns us into into technological beings, but is also extraordinarily scary.
I think
we are approaching an inflection point in history that we have not experienced anything like over the course of our history at all.
I think we've just found next week's topic of the singularity. As always, thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thanks, Avi.
We'll talk singularity. Have a good week, everyone. Thanks for having me on.
Cheers,
amazing. Avi. Thank you so much. That's Avi Yorish. Go and check out his website. It's Avi, A-V-I, Yorish, J-O-R-I-S-C-H.